hot, so hot. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning, my faithful friends. It is my fearless friends. What is it today? Today's Tuesday. Tuesday, July 29th. July, I guess it is. It's still July 29th, 2025 at 10:23 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I am your host, coming to you sort of live. I'm alive as I'm recording this from the very hot state of Arkansas. I am in Arkansas, as it should be pronounced properly. I'm in Fayetteville at the moment. Well, Bentonville, to be technically correct, I guess. But there's a lot of Villes down here. And I think it's Bentonville, Fayetteville, Harkinsville, Stevensville, whatever it is you want to call it. It's down here. They're all Villes. And I am in one of them. I'm this one particular one. And I just had breakfast, had a little bit of a workout, not much of one. I was planning on getting out and doing some cardio outside, you know, more of a walk run thing. And it is already 82 degrees here. Now, keep in mind the time here is 9:24. It's not 10:24 here. But I've got a little gym here. It's not much of a gym, actually. It's not too much one, but I'm going to be doing this. And of course, I'm in a part of Arkansas. I just saw in the news here that's just coming up. Manhunt after a couple killed in Arkansas State Park. It's the Devil's. Is it Devil's Run? Devil's. Whatever it's called. It's kind of a weird deal. Some couple was killed there. Speaking of attacks, hearts go out to those who were. There's apparently some kind of mass shooting happened in. I guess it was Manhattan. A police officer was killed. I believe one officer was killed. At least one officer was shot into that. There's four people that were killed. I don't know if the gunman has been caught. I really haven't been paying attention to that a whole lot. It kind of surprises me that it's getting as much attention as it does, as it is, just because there were, you know, probably more people than that killed last night in Chicago. So I don't understand what the, other than the fact that it was like a lone gunman, the mass crime type thing, apparently. And of course, the initial report was that this guy was a white man that did this, and he's not. But that just the CNN first thing they put out there was possibly a white man. And theorists, you know, statistically, they would probably be on the park there with most mass type shootings like this have happened with most of them have been we don't get reported. We don't hear the reports from the things in cities where you know, drive-by shootings, mass shootings, just indiscriminate shooting at groups of people is considered gang violence in most places, whereas it's not considered that in places where there's just a, you know, like crooks or whoever it is. That case is very bizarre too. So we have hearts go out to that situation. There are a lot of people injured there, some people killed, and hopefully get to the bottom of that, get that straightened out. There are some very serious gun laws in Manhattan, so that guy's really facing, But more importantly, it's the, you know, the politicization of this whole thing is what really aggravates me more than anything. But so anyway, I just say I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm not a I'm just a guy with a bunch of opinions about what I am. And I also have a cup. I have this cup here with my chai in it, and it has a just some regular creamer in it, which is okay. I don't think I've got enough chai with me to last my entire. I've actually got 6 days here that I'm scheduled to work in a row because of the transition with the month. So I have to work these the 4 day, basically being away for 4 days. I'm going to be I'm in Fayetteville now. I'm up in Bakersfield tonight, Bakersfield, California. And I probably will do a show either really early in the morning or one in the evening tonight and before I go to bed. All kind of depends on how that pans out. I'm leaving out of there fairly early, but they're 3 hours difference, or at least 2 hours difference from there. So I could potentially get up early in the morning and do a show. We'll see how that works out. If you have some opinions, I want to share your opinion on what my opinion is, because this is the news according to me, not the news according to you or anybody else. It's the news according to me. I have, if you want to share your opinion of my opinion, or if you want to share an opinion that you think I should have an opinion on, something like that, you can call the show. It's 812-379-8778. Call or text that number. If you live outside the United States, you don't have an international calling plan, or if you just don't have a phone, you can get online from any public Wi-Fi service, in the library or whatever, and you can text the show or call the show. You can leave a little voicemail or a text message, and it's you just go to google.com/voice, type in that number, 812-379-8778, and you can respond to the show. And thank you, by the way, for doing so. And thank you for listening to the show, for that matter. A couple of other things that are happening right now. There's a beating that took place in Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio. And I've spent a considerable amount of time in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I have to say, oh, by the way, my backup cup. I have a future backup cup. I have a backup cup in my future. There's a Chick-fil-A not very far from here. I was going to get up this morning and actually go. And I probably should have gone over there to get a sweet tea this morning, because doing so anytime after the show here is going to be a sweat, an exercise in sweating. I have a backup cup here with some chocolate milk, and it is spoiled. That is spoiled chocolate milk. That's what that is. July 31st is what the date is on it, but that is no good at all. That is not good. That's the first sip I've taken. I wish I hadn't taken that sip. That was not good. I have a bunch of water here as well, so I'm going to be drinking that as my backup cup now. Hopefully not vomiting that up later. I have getting back to this whole thing with this beating that took place in Cincinnati. I don't know the specifics about it. I don't know if there was an altercation prior to it. I don't know if there was a words exchange. A word exchange does not equate to getting beaten by a mob of individuals. And it's, of course, the news media. I wish I could play this because it was very telling. I was just listening to some news reports this morning about it. J.D. Vance was asked about it, and he, of course, they said a group of individuals hit a couple folks, beat up a couple folks in Cincinnati. How do you feel about that? Well, okay, that's putting it pretty mildly. Okay, a group of black people cheering each other on, beat up there were at least two individuals. It looked like they were just out on the town for the night for whatever. They obviously weren't out to cause problems. They were just out probably having dinner, whatever they were doing, shopping, doing whatever they were doing. Maybe in the wrong part of wherever they were. I don't know where they were. I don't know exactly where this place was. But I've been downtown Cincinnati quite a bit. I've also been over the side of the river where what they call the old town is, where the school, kind of where the college area is. Probably spent more time over there than I have in downtown proper, but I have spent plenty of time down there. It's an interesting area. It is there's like a couple of bridges you can walk across to get over to, from one going across the river. There's quite a just a whole plethora of things to do there. But there, so apparently this happened last night. Now it's kind of odd for that to happen on a Monday night for people to be out that way, but that happens all the time. For whatever reason, these people were beaten severely beaten, and this one lady was basically just kind of minding her own business. And the video shows, and I don't know how it started. I don't know what antagonized them. I don't know that anything had to antagonize them necessarily. And antagonizing them did not equate to them deserving to get beat up the way they did. And this one lady was knocked out. She's lucky to be alive. She was on the pavement. When you get out on the street, one thing about street fighting is people don't realize if you fall down, if you get punched and you fall down, your head now is vulnerable to a multitude of things on the way down as you fall. If you're knocked out, you can't stop. You can easily die when your head hits the street. Your head hits the back of a curb. It can hit a pole, a light pole, anything it falls on, anything that happens to you fall into. If you happen to fall out into the street, a car hits you. Whatever it is, there's so many dangers there. Keeping your body low to begin with is really important on the street when you're in a situation like that. But if you're just standing there and you get sucker punched, you go down. You could literally have serious damage to your skull and your brain and a concussion and everything else. Not just from the punch, but from the fall itself is what typically will injure people even more sometimes. So the thing to keep in mind is what happened here is it doesn't look justifiable to me. I don't think anybody was threatened by this woman, at least not to the point of using nearly deadly force. It was serious force. And this brings up something. And I haven't talked about the whole race issue a lot lately. I've talked about it in the past quite a bit. The whole race baiting thing, everything that's going on with race in this country. Now, there's only one race. There's a human race, and but the spirit of division comes in, wanting to divide us and wanting to cancel us and everything else. Wants us to be divided against each other. Wants us to have this division. That's all that it's about. We all want people cared for, but we just disagree on how they should be cared for, and then now all of a sudden we're enemies of each other because we want to see people cared for. We just disagree on how to do it. And in this situation, I have to address this, and I don't know that I've ever really talked about this much at all or not. It is a spiritual battle. There's no question about this. It is a battle of a magnitude. It goes beyond our ability to really grasp. There is a serious spiritual battle going on in this country with regard to race, what is perceived as race, culture, culture clash. Because of individuals that, in my opinion, have planted a lot of seeds with regard to race baiting, people like Al Sharpton and Reverend Jackson and just many others, even that kind of come before them, who have gained their popularity, made their job, their business, has all been wrapped around and dependent upon an accusation of systemic racism in this country and fighting for those who are oppressed. In fact, there's a whole religion, a religious movement based on this whole thing, which is the kind of stuff that it's a little bit spooky when you think about it. When you start talking about organized religion and where it can go, there's so much good that can be done through organized religion. And yet, there is, because man creeps in and things get corrupt and it just, one thing leads to another, and the next thing you know, you have a very corrupt organization that on one hand does very good things, and underneath the underbelly can be, I would call it, extremely evil, manipulative, and dangerous. Now, the Al Capone, for example, well known in Chicago for the mob, the mafia there, the whole thing that was going on there. he was known in the community as being, he was kind of like a Robin Hood almost. In some communities there. He would do great things. Paid for a ball field. He paid for a couple parks in town. I think he helped fund a lot of things. The guy had a lot of money. He would do those kinds of things to win support from the public so that, I don't know if anything ever happened to him, he would get kind of favor among the people. And it was really that much harder for the law enforcement to go after the guy. Now, because organized crime is very, it's not quite as heinous, if you will, in that it doesn't stick right in your face. The organized crime is stuff that where they're selling things, buying things, selling things on the black market, doing all kinds of things. Not necessarily just going out and indiscriminately killing people, but they're actually committing crimes of money. You know, they're making money on these crimes. They're robbing, stealing, but not necessarily individuals as much as just, or they're providing things that are contraband, that kind of thing. That this is the way they work, and it's not perceived as such an in your face hideous crime, so to speak, like a mass murderer or a serial killer or something like that. That's not what they're into. They're into an organized crime scheme or system like that. Typically, will be a system that makes money. They're all about the business of doing illicit acts or crimes that they can make money on. Things that people want. They're almost providing a service, but it's service of things that are illegal or contraband or taboo. That's what they do. This is organized crime, and it's very lucrative. And they have to have ways of washing, laundering the money, doing all kinds of things. I see occasionally stores in communities, and or even at the airports. I see this all the time. There's a very high rent paid for airport property. It's like, let's say you wanted to have a kiosk in Chicago's O'Hare International Airport. You would have to spend a great deal of money to have that kiosk there to sell whatever you're going to sell. Little area, just a little spot. Now you want power hooked up, you want all this, whatever you want, it's going to cost you that much more, and you got to pay the bill for, you know, your power, your electric, all this other stuff that you got to pay for, on top of the rent, on top of the leasing the space, the square footage, whatever you got. It's an incredible amount of money. However, there is a potential to make an incredible amount of money there. There you're seeing, tens of thousands of people a day going past your store, and you have a somewhat consistent collective audience there, potential clients. Now, I see some of these stores, they're selling things. You never see anybody shopping at these. You never see it. For instance, a little jewelry store, there's never anybody there. Everybody walks past that place. You know the prices are going to be extremely high. Now, there was recently a sunglass hut, apparently, in Chicago that was selling things. They had a 50% off for certain employees. I think it lasted for like a week. I would have gone there and gotten some Ray-Bans. If I had known about it, I spent a lot of time at Chicago Airport, and if I had known about it, I probably would have jumped in on that deal and gotten a couple pairs of Ray-Bans. I don't think that that's going on now. I think I missed out on that, and I will not be back through Chicago until Thursday. I don't think I'll be the way things are looking right now, and I think it'll all change if the weather changes or something happens. But I'm not thinking it's going to change much for me here, especially since I'm going to Southern California. So we have in El Paso. I don't think there's many stunts. Getting back to Chicago on Thursday might be an issue, but Thursday or Friday, I'll be in Chicago on Friday as well. Now, having said all that, we have this issue of the spiritual warfare thing going on. And organized crime, organized anything, has a tendency to become very, I was getting back to this whole thing, what looks like on the surface things are that are doing well or doing good, and individuals can be this way. But organizations are just kind of a collective of individuals that do things. But the individuals, the people involved in this organization, they can make everything look like, well, look at all these things we serve, look at all these things we do, but the underbelly is they also have this going on, and it may not be even anything really, hideous. It could just be something that's very manipulative and deceitful. Things are not as there as they appear to be. This happens a lot with a lot of the famous televangelists, the really good speakers, people who are able to orate very well, and they become very popular, and they But the underlying belly is their theology is way off, or they're leading people astray because they're good speakers and they make you feel good. You know, tell you the truth about what's really going on. It's just they make you feel good about your life, and you go on. Just, you know, it's really motivational, and you start to fall and slip into this trap of. They don't remind you of the fact that you're a selfish, sinful individual, which is not, you know, that's the devil's job, is to accuse you of those things. But you have to remember where you came from. You have to have you have to remember what it is that's the grounding of your faith, and that is what Jesus did on the cross. Why he had to do it. He didn't do it because you're a good person. That's for sure. So keeping that grounded and in balance, and remembering those things, and understanding, you know, our humility before him because of what he did for us on the cross. So that's kind of the basis of Christianity. And yet sometimes that gets lost in this whole idea of, you know, feeling good and just having, you know, God is pleased with me, and because I do these good things, I'm a good person, and you know, all this stuff. Of course, well, yeah, sure, I make mistakes. Yeah, sure, that, you know. No, Jesus died for you thoroughly because you are thoroughly a mess. So we have all this stuff going on right now with now. My main point that I want to get to here about this whole thing that I don't really talk about a whole lot, and I'm going to talk about it now. It's a very touchy subject. I'm going to try to wade into this very carefully because I don't want to be misunderstood. The issue of racial tension and racial divide. First of all, human beings need each other. We need each other. And we need to find a way to work together. The problem I'm seeing right now with a particular culture in our country is, of course, the left is... And the main mentality is, you know, pointing the finger and saying racist, 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 racist at a particular group of individuals. And they're the source of all racism. They're the only ones who can be racist. They're systemically racist, and they're born racist, and they'll die racist because of the color of their skin. That's racism in itself. That's that kind of mentality of a race being tainted. Well, you're white, so you have this. But by the way, white privilege is a part of that. The whole Marxist mentality of division and control is dividing up and calling out the privileged among us and vilifying them. That is a common trait that has always happened among Marxist mentality, and it is straight out of hell. It's straight from the pit of hell. Mentality and the whole ideology, philosophy comes from the pit. That's where that comes from, because it is a dividing spirit. It is nothing more than that. And it's now unity at any cost is also not a good idea. There's this idea that, well, we just have to lay down the truth so we can, you know, you just need to compromise on what you believe so that we can all live together, and we just need to come together and just lay down our convictions and lay down our. That doesn't work either. It's the truth that, you know, laying hold of the truth is all together is what will bring us together truly. And I think that's where we have to have discernment in the church. And how that works. Now, I still haven't gotten to my point that I want to make about what I want to address, that is a very touchy subject. And that is, within the culture, and I will say within the African-American black culture in this country, and it's mostly in this country, look, unforgiveness will do a terrible work in the heart and soul of an individual. It will also do a terrible work in a culture. And I believe that's what we have, is a culture that has never forgiven as a group, as a people, what happened to them a few hundred years ago. And of course, none of them are alive today, but they still live out this culture, and it just perpetuates itself because it encourages and enacts violence upon the other person that they perceive to have been the one who did them wrong or is doing them wrong. And so that then they act out against that individual, those groups of people, for no other reason than the color of their skin. And in the process of doing so, they perpetuate the problem. Now, I have noticed, you know, this is a, call it what you will. I don't know if it is a, you can call it spiritual discernment. You can call it whatever you want. I'm going to call it, somehow I have perceived, a perception that I have, an awareness that I have, whatever you want to call it, that there is a seething and loathing kind of hatred, bitter hatred of white people among certain groups of African Americans or blacks, people of color. And it is palpable in some areas. I see it, and I walk past a lot of people every day. I travel a lot. I do a lot of people watching, and I, as I'm walking down through an airport terminal or in the hallway of a building, whatever it is, or on the street corners, on the streets, it becomes very obvious people's attitudes towards me. Now, maybe they just got something on their mind. Usually I can tell the difference between someone who just has something on their mind or someone who actually hates people or doesn't like people or specifically doesn't like me because of the color of my skin. Some people just have personality issues and they don't like anybody. They don't like people. It's almost to the point where I can, as I'm walking down the street, I can almost point out to you who the real believers are. People who have light in their eyes, and people who don't. People whose hearts are filled with God's love, and people whose hearts are filled with love for themselves. It's a weird thing. I can't always describe it. I can't really describe how it is. I can tell you is it's overwhelming sometimes, some circumstances. But there is an absolute hatred that is seething in the hearts of some individuals. And they would just as soon spit on me or slit my throat as look at me. Literally, because of the color of my skin, they think I am the enemy. I'm the source of all their problems. And they would like to take out that hatred on me. Just because I deserve it for being white. They know nothing about my family. They know nothing about my past, who I am, anything about my, they've decided because of the color of my skin that I am, and I sense this among some. And it becomes very palpable when it's acted upon. I've had some situations in some restaurants where let's just say the servers and service has been very obviously askew, and it's saddening. It's saddening and disheartening. And I will not, you know, I just don't participate in that. I will walk out. I will walk. You know, that's when I start writing people. You know, just some people will kowtow to that and try to convince them otherwise. I'm not that person. I'm not that guy. I'm going to pray conviction down upon you, and that's just what I'm going to do. You got to deal with that. That's between you and, you know, your maker needs to convince you that. I can't convict your heart. I can't change your heart. All I can say is you need to have a heart change. You need to have your eyes opened in the situation. And that's all I'm going to say. I believe it's going to require. What is change going to require? Well, it's going to require the culture among it, it's going to have to police itself. It's going to have to call itself out. And I think it has to start in the churches. If people, that's what's going to change the culture. Candace Owens, I think, became so popular. One of the reasons because she was able to call out what was going on in the Black community. Because she had that voice. She had the ability because she was a person of color. There's a young lady by the name of Camille. She was kind of starting to take her place because could take Candace's place because she is calling out Candace on some things. She's just speaking common sense and just talking about culture and what's happening and why, you know, there's a problem among the Black community. That's what she's calling out. Now, is there a problem among the White community? Sure, but it's not. Don't blame what's going on in the Black community for what's going on in the White community. And you can't say it's all because of racism from the whites. It's just all because of oppression. Oh, this, they're just acting out. You have to excuse them somehow. No, there's no excuse. If you do something wrong, you can't blame someone else for you doing something wrong. Now, there can be a reason why you did something wrong. It can actually have affected you and why you made your decision you did. But that doesn't mean that you can blame the other person for it. You still make your decisions. We can find the reason why you make the decision. Maybe you made that decision because of the influence of things in your past, and where you're prone to make decisions that are bad decisions, bad choices. Still, you have the power to make those decisions on your own. It's called discipline, self-discipline. Something our nation does not have. We are losing our grip on very quickly. In fact, much of the generation, I think it's, you know, I could go into this a lot further, a lot deeper. I'm not going to, but because I'm pretty much out of time here. But I just want to say that I've actually thought about writing a book about discipline, the disciplined life, which is really just a life of the disciple. Because self-discipline is we can be disciplined. We can have other people discipline us or live in a situation where someone else is disciplining us. That is not self-discipline. We can learn discipline, not self-discipline. That requires when that other person's not there now, that we still act and are able to overcome our selfish motives and desires. That is very difficult. That's where the real battle begins, spiritual battle. I'll be talking about that probably this coming Sunday when I'm leading worship. We're going to be doing some spiritual battle. But this is kind of thing that I think the church community needs to really get into, especially the Black community. We're forever going to reach a point of forgiveness and acceptance and reconciliation. It's never going to happen without struggling. Reverend Jackson, those kinds of people. Folks, I want to thank you for listening. Sharing God. Just God bless everything you're doing. And take care. See you.